This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Hundreds of thousands of people took to the streets this past weekend to protest gun violence. Organizers of the student-led March for Our Lives rallies are calling it the start of a movement and a wake-up call for Congress ahead of this year's midterm elections.
The pressure is on for every person in power, and it will stay that way. Because they know what is coming. They know that if there is no assault weapons ban passed, then we will vote them out.
The latest Fox News poll found overwhelming support for specific gun control measures, including 91% of voters who are in favor of universal background checks on all gun buyers, 72% support raising the minimum age to buy a gun to 21, and 60% favor banning assault rifles and semi-automatic weapons.
When the motion is adopted, with
Congress did include several reforms in its $1.3 trillion spending bill last week, strengthening background checks and providing funding for school safety measures. But activists argue those measures aren't enough, and Democrats are hoping that frustration will help them in November.
The activism of these young people is actually changing the equation.
Gun control will be a complicated issue for Democrats, particularly in the Senate, where they're defending seats in states like West Virginia, North Dakota, Missouri, and Indiana, where there is strong support for the Second Amendment.
They have to be careful about embracing gun control on a national level when there are going to be states and districts that are not going to go for that.
Retaking the House won't be easy for Democrats either, though. The latest Fox News poll found a tightening race in voters' candidate preference, with 46% saying they'd back the Democratic candidate in their district, compared to 41% for the Republican. That is a very different picture from October, though, when Democrats were up by 15.
Well, I think the challenge that we have, which comes with opportunity here, is that are we going to lose some good people along the way here? People that can really help the situation, because people, you know, like these young kids and those that marched over the weekend, they want something done. And it's just not enough. I believe what Congress did in this omnibus bill that we talked about is they did make, you know, some accommodation. Is it total? No. I mean, because we're not even talking about the very core of the problem, which has to do with our own humanity. You know, we touched a little bit on this with Dr. Lee Valit just a moment ago, and that has to do with responsibility. Our Constitution was designed for a people of morality. And the moral issue, the moral conversation isn't even brought up. I mean, when you have a young student with a lot of passion talking to her peers and talking to a nation with a Cuban flag on her jacket, I mean, where's the disconnect here? You know, what are we trying to promote? I mean, it, in a sense, you know, compromises their message because of the incongruity that they're putting out there. Do you understand what I'm saying? That, you know, they have to really think this out, but they're not. And this is the challenge of the youth, and we've all been there, where we lead with our passions and we're just so, you know, self-righteous and think we've got it all figured out. And then the facts come in. Then education comes in. I mean, what is needed more than ever is for us to be educated. This is why, you know, we're so privileged and honored to have guys like Dr. John Lott who have studied this. And it's not about, you know, about guns. He's not promoting guns. You know, he's promoting safety. That's his heart and that's his passion. But unfortunately, at times he's misrepresented and framed as being one to promote guns. It's like the NRA. You know, people think, well, you know, they're promoting, you know, guns. No, it's gun safety is what it is. I mean, it's kind of interesting. I mean, you know, on one hand, they will buy into the argument that Planned Parenthood is all about the safety of women and not about abortion, though abortion is a big part of what they do and how they get so much of their money. But, you know, that doesn't transcend in the discussion. But yet for the NRA, because they support, you know, freedom-loving Second Amendment patriots, then that's a problem and they're invalidated. Their argument seems to be counter-opposing, doesn't it?
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
See why our homegrown small business at sunny-bay.com has tried to help people just like you. Get your Sunny Bay heating pads at sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com or call 253-678-1361. For hot and cold therapy, sunny-bay.com.
They are. Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. It is all right there. You know, Christianity could have easily become the forgotten sect of Judaism. Instead, it spread at a mind-boggling pace, converting some 30 million people in just four centuries. This is something that has been quite pondersome for our next guest, Bart Ehrman, New York Times best-selling authority on early Christianity. Bart, this has been something that's been running through your mind now for over 30 years, is that how could Christianity spread so quickly?
Well, it's an amazing story. According to the New Testament, right after Jesus' death, there were 11 of his men disciples and a handful of women, so about 20 people who came to believe he got raised from the dead. These were lower class, illiterate peasants from a rural part of a remote area of the empire, and these 20 people convinced so many others that within 400 years, Christianity had become the official religion of the entire Roman Empire, with half of the population, 30 million people, subscribing to it. And so, yeah, it's an astounding story.
Well, when you think about it, even up on that final day, 40 days after Jesus' departure, when you had Pentecost, I'm kind of fast-forwarding here a little bit, you had some over 280 people in that room. So there was still, you know, as they were going through the shock of their leader being crucified, then it was, okay, you know, pulling things back, you know, back together and laying their lives on a line in such a way that it had to be a bit compelling for those near what was happening here.
Well, what I argue in the book is that without the belief in the resurrection, you never would have had Christianity, because Jesus himself was a Jewish teacher who followed the Jewish law and kept Jewish customs, and he understood himself to have the right understanding of the God of the Jews. And if his followers hadn't come to believe in the resurrection, they would have remained a sect within Judaism. They'd be a kind of Judaism, but it's the belief in the resurrection soon after his death that ends up making this into the kind of religion that it became.
Exactly. Bart Ehrman is with us, New York Times best-selling authority on early Christianity. We're talking about his new book, The Triumph of Christianity. And as you say, Bart, Jesus was Jewish. I mean, he knew all the traditions. He knew the Old Testament, referenced it many times throughout his ministry.
Well, that's right. And so, you know, I don't think that Jesus himself was planning on starting a new religion. And I think his followers after his death understood that they understood him to be the Jewish Messiah sent from the Jewish God to the Jewish people in fulfillment of the Jewish scriptures. If you want to be a follower of Jesus, you got to be Jewish, which meant that if anybody converted to be a follower of Jesus, if they were a man, if they weren't Jewish already, they had to get circumcised and they had to start observing the Sabbath and keeping kosher. And so this started out as a kind of Judaism. Jacob.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you've got the divide, as you do throughout the history of Christianity, as you get those points of conflict that occur between, you know, the reigning institution of the time, the Pharisees and Sadducees, the religious leaders, and believing that there was no way that Jesus was the Messiah, because in their own mind, they thought Jesus should be able, you know, be a different type of king, more of a worldly king than a spiritual king. Is that not true?
Well, that's right. I mean, there were a variety of understandings of what the Messiah would be within Judaism, but all of these various understandings thought that the Messiah would be a figure of grandeur and power. He'd be someone who destroyed the enemies and set up Israel as a sovereign state in the land and would rule Israel as the king in Jerusalem. And then the Christians came along and said that Jesus is the Messiah. Mm-hmm. Most Jews thought this was crazy, because everyone knew Jesus had been arrested for crimes against the state, he had been humiliated, and he'd been publicly tortured to death. And so he was just the opposite of what people thought a Messiah would be. So that the Christian claims about Jesus not just fell on deaf ears, but it was understood to be ludicrous by most Jews at the time.
Exactly. And, of course, then what follows is, you know, Rome targeting the Jews, burns down the temple, then targets, you know, the Way, the group of the Way, this new religious movement. They're lighting them up as human torches on Nero's driveway, and you've got Nero's circus and all that taking place as well. So is it any wonder that Christianity could survive in the early years with that kind of persecution?
Well, so I have a chapter on persecution in the book, and you know, there were times and places where Christians were severely persecuted, including during that one incident in Rome under Nero, about 35 years after Jesus' death. One of the things about the persecutions is that the persecutions early on were sporadic and occasional. It wasn't illegal to be a Christian in most parts of the empire. It was perfectly fine, but there were times and places where Roman authorities said, no, you have to worship the Roman gods. You can worship your god if you want to, but you have to also worship our gods, because our gods have made our state great, so that if you don't worship our gods, it's a kind of a political statement. And so there were times when Christians were persecuted, but it didn't halt the growth of the Christian movement.
And then what was the pivotal change for Christianity historically that really caused it to expand exponentially?
Yeah, I would say there are several causes, but when I went into writing the book, my first idea was the one that I think most people have, which is that the reason Christianity took off was because the Emperor Constantine converted. Mm-hmm. In the early 4th century, Constantine was the emperor. He was a pagan, worshipped many gods, and he became a Christian. And I had always thought, well, that's what made the difference. What I try to show in the book is that turns out probably not to be true, that at the rate Christianity was growing at the time, it almost certainly would have taken over the empire anyway, whether Constantine converted or not. Mm-hmm. It's not that you need massive conversions and you don't need the Emperor Constantine. What you need are Christians converting others at a fairly steady rate of growth.
Right. What was it about Christianity that, you know, drew people in? I mean, throughout all the persecutions, the philosophical conflicts of whether or not Jesus was man or God or both, what was it that transcended all that and drew people into, you know, belief and following Christianity?
What I argue in the book is that to understand why pagans would want to convert to Christianity, you have to understand why pagans were religious in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Pagans were religious, well, for a range of reasons, but mainly it was because life was so hard and they needed help to survive it. Most people were not religious because of an afterlife. They were religious because this life was so difficult to survive. So, I mean, they were living in a world where if it doesn't rain this year, your village will starve to death next year.
Right.
If you get sick, there's no way to get well. If you get a tooth abscess, it will kill you. The gods can provide things that humans can't provide for themselves. They can make sure it rains. They can make sure the crops grow and the livestock multiply. They can heal the sick. So the gods are worshipped in order to provide divine benefits, and the Christians argued that their God was more powerful than the pagan gods.
Exactly.
They didn't have to convince masses of people at once, but they convinced some people, and eventually then they took over the empire.
He's New York Times bestselling author Bart Ehrman. His new book, Triumph of Christianity, that is the topic of our discussion. It will continue right after this.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
Remembering when to change your fridge filter is a hassle. Remembering the right filter is almost impossible. So at Filters Fast, we have some good advice. Forget it. Instead, remember this. Text BEST 33 to 443-443 and check fridge filters off your to-do list forever. Get it all taken care of for a fraction of big box store prices with a Filters Fast brand filter. To see how much you can save, plus get free shipping, text BEST 33 to 443-443. With a huge range of brand name filters available, Filters Fast is America's number one online filtration company. And you can get a Filters Fast brand filter for a fraction of the price, delivered to your door every time you need it. No need to remember. It's not a matter of if you need a fridge filter. Why not text to get it taken care of? To see how much you can save and get free shipping, text BEST 33 to 443-443. That's BEST 33 to 443-443.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com. Virtual care anywhere.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists. Get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow. A new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez live.
Back with the New York Times bestselling author Bart Ehrman is with us. We're talking about his brand new book, Triumph of Christianity. Bart, did you find that, you know, we were talking about pagans, you know, in their conversion to Christianity. But do we get back down to the basis that people are going to worship something? It's in our innate behavior to worship a god of some sort?
Certainly in the ancient world, there were virtually no atheists. Everybody knew that there were gods, lots of gods. The only ones who didn't think there were lots of gods were Jews and then Christians. And so everybody knew there were lots of gods. What made it interesting in the ancient world was that since everybody worshipped many gods, there was no sense that one religion was right and the others were wrong. That a variety of religions could be right. And so if you started adapting new religious practices, you didn't have to give up your old practices. Mm-hmm. Or if you started worshiping a new god, you didn't have to stop worshiping the old gods until Christianity came along. Christians said, we're right. There's only one God. You can only worship him. If you turn to this God, you can't worship any of the others. And that's one of the reasons Christianity ended up taking over the empire, mm-hmm. because it was the only religion that was destroying the other religions in its wake, because it was the only religion that was pressing its exclusivistic claims.
Mm-hmm. And I guess that's the reason, you know, when you think about Christianity taking over the Roman Empire, that's why it mattered so much, right?
Well, it is. I mean, what ends up happening is Christianity is not growing by leaps and bounds at first. It just is growing at, you know, the converted few people here and there. Probably at about a rate, I tried to show in the book, it's probably about a rate of about 3% a year. Mm-hmm. So if there are 100 people who are Christian this year, next year there may be 103. You do that over time, and since you're an exclusive religion, you're not only bringing people into Christianity, you're taking them away from paganism. Mm-hmm. And that means that over time, Christianity is advancing while the other religions are shrinking.
And then you also have, lest we forget, Judaism. And so this divide between Judaism and Christianity to become different religions, it was all about Jesus, right? Whether they were going to accept Jesus or not. Was that the divide?
Yeah, that was the initial divide, is that Christians were saying that Jesus is the Jewish Messiah, and Jews were saying there's no way he could be the Messiah. He's a crucified criminal. And so that brought about the divide originally, and then they developed in different lines. I mean, Christianity becomes a Gentile religion, a religion open to non-Jews who didn't have to convert to Judaism. And before the end of the first century was over, most of the people coming into Christianity came from pagan roots rather than Jewish roots.
Now, were there other things that were contributory to people's conversion here? I mean, not only some spiritual satisfaction becoming a Christian, but was there something beneficial in terms of the culture that Christianity was demonstrating versus the other religions?
There have been a lot of discussion about this among scholars. Some scholars have thought that, for example, that the idea of the Christian community was attractive to people, that within the Christian church, unlike in pagan religions, people met every week, and they called one another brother and sister, and they supported each other, and they prayed for each other, and they shared their resources, and that the community aspect might have brought people in, and that's possible. It is striking that when you read what the sources actually say, from starting with the New Testament, but going up to the 2nd, 3rd, 4th centuries, what they say is that what's converting people are demonstrations of divine power, the miracles that people are working in the name of the God of Jesus, and that's the main thing leading to conversions.
No doubt. Miracles and wonders continued post the resurrection, as you said earlier. That was, in fact, the ultimate miracle. If you could obliterate, the fact that the resurrection did not occur. We know Josh McDowell tried to do that, and in the process of trying to convince himself the resurrection factor was a lie, as a result, in trying to prove it was a lie, he started believing.
Well, you know, the early Christians didn't use the kind of proofs of the resurrection that someone like Josh McDowell would do. What they would say was that, look, Jesus died, and Paul saw him alive afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And You know, he was raised from the dead, and they didn't convince masses of people. They only had to convince a few people. But over time, if you convince a few people, and these people have to leave their old religion to accept this religion, then the other religion starts failing. Mm-hmm. And so that's how it ended up happening. But it absolutely is because of belief that Jesus really was raised from the dead.
Well, not only Paul, but after his resurrection, there were reports that hundreds of people saw Jesus in various places. Did they not?
Well, in the Gospels, you don't have hundreds of people seeing Jesus. You have the followers of Jesus seeing him. Mm-hmm. Paul, in one place in 1 Corinthians, mentions that there were 500 people who saw him at once, but he doesn't give us any information about that.
That's what I'm referring to.
Other records for that. Yeah.
So, but obviously, no doubt, people having, you know, either seen Jesus afterwards, you know, going in and seeing a tomb that was before sealed up. And, of course, as we know, according to Roman law, that those guards were going to be subject to death because they lost the body of Jesus Christ. And, of course, the ruling religious leaders at the time knew of Jesus's prediction or his prophecy that he would be raised in 3 days. And they were afraid that maybe his followers would steal the body and promote a big hoax upon, you know, the Jewish people and the world.
Well, that's what the Gospel of Matthew says. So, you know, one of the tasks that biblical scholars have is determining how accurate these accounts are. I mean, are they literally what happened, or are they later reflections some decades later? And so it's a very interesting question. You don't get the guards posted at the tomb, for example, in any of the other Gospels, or the idea that the disciples may have stolen the body. It all comes from the Gospel of Matthew, which is, of course, written about 50 or 60 years after the events.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing about the Gospels, written, I mean, that was about the closest contact to the resurrection of Christ, his ministry, in terms of documented history, correct?
Well, the Gospels are the only accounts we have of Jesus rising from the dead and the tomb being empty. Paul himself doesn't say anything about an empty tomb, and these are the only narratives that we have. Mm-hmm. But again, they're written, you know, many decades later by people who are not living in Palestine. I mean, the authors of the Gospels are Greek-speaking Christians living decades later. No suggestion that they actually lived in Israel. They're actually writing in a different language from Jesus and his disciples, and so they're decades later by people who weren't there, and so that's why biblical scholars have to wrestle with trying to figure out what actually happened.
Well, Bart, for 30 years, you've been mulling this question of Christianity in your head, and I'm sure you were up many times at 3 o'clock in the morning pondering the question. Now that you've written The Triumph of Christianity, can you sleep through the night?
I sleep just well. I sleep perfectly well, and I actually never lost any sleep over this one. This is a story for me that is historically extremely important, but it's not one that I puzzle about much. I think we understand now how it all happened.
Yeah, exactly. So the big takeaway for the people that get their hands on your book, and they should get their hands on your book. This is great scholarship, and you know, I appreciate all the hard work that you put into this in The Triumph of Christianity. What do you want the audience to get from your book?
I think people need to realize that when Christianity took over the Roman world, it became the religion of the West, which means it became the religion, the dominant religion of all of Western civilization. And our entire culture cannot be understood apart from the Christian influence, whether you're a Christian or not. Mm-hmm. And so seeing how Christianity actually did it makes a huge difference for understanding our own heritage.
Well, Bart Ehrman, thank you again for being with us here on Bill Martinez Live, New York Times bestselling authority on early Christianity. Bart Ehrman on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Bart.
Thank you.
Here's important new information from the Diabetes Solution Center for you, a family member, or a loved one suffering with diabetes. If you've lost your provider, or if you need a provider for diabetic supplies, you may qualify to receive your diabetic testing supplies now, with little or no out-of-pocket cost, regardless of your age. All you need is Medicare or private insurance to be potentially eligible. Call the Diabetes Solution Center right now for details. Just takes a couple minutes. Our friendly, knowledgeable agents will give you free, no-obligation information, handle all the insurance paperwork, and make sure your supplies are delivered directly to your door for free.
Call U.S. Medical Supply 24 hours a day. 800-597-9323. 800-597-9323. 800-597-9323. Call right now. 800-597-9323.
Hey, this is Ricky from Banyan Hill. You like freedom? I do. You like money? I do too. If you like freedom and money, then you're going to love Freedom Checks. You see, over the next few months, an estimated $34.6 billion is up for grabs to anyone who stakes their claim. Yep, you heard that right. $34.6 billion. To get all the details, just go to www.AmericanFreedomChecks.com. Thousands of people are already lined up to cash in. Take Doug, for example. He's a 46-year-old from Joplin, Missouri, who's set to get a check for $24,075. And if Doug can do this, I've got a hunch that you can too. But here's the thing. If you want the chance to grab your full fair share of this $34.6 billion payout, you must have your ducks in a row by May 1st. So don't wait. Get over to www.AmericanFreedomChecks.com before May 1st. That's www.AmericanFreedomChecks.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Tell you, surprising a lot of people out there and doing a great job. Congratulations to the Irwin brothers for what they've done. And, of course, this weekend, God's Not Dead 3. We're going to be talking with David A.R. White a little bit later on and looking forward to the conversation with him. The follow-up to God's Not Dead 1 and 2, so you're going to hear all about it. George Upper is joining us. He's the executive editor at the Western Journal, formerly managing editor at Liftable Media's Conservative Tribune. He has had an incredible background in addition to being a former U.S. Army special operator. And we're going to talk about the Western Conservative Conference, the new name Western Journal, once known as the Western Center for Journalism, and why that changed. Also talking about an article, The Uppercut, titled, Here's What Facebook is Really Doing to Your Newsfeed. I know Facebook, I think, had a grand opportunity here, and they've, you know, messed up. in violating, you know, one of the most important things that you can have with your audience, and that is trust. And if you violate that trust, you're going to pay a big price. And of course, they're paying a price on all levels. Not only are they losing customers, but look what's happening with their stock prices. You know, that has plummeted as well as a result of, you know, the violation that they have perpetrated on their following. And as you mentioned, Facebook was in an enviable position in distributing newsfeed to their clientele base. But now all that's in question and compromised. So we'll see how that plays out. And we'll be talking with George Upper. Do we have George Upper with us now?
Yes, sir.
Hey, George. Welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Hey, we were just bragging all about you, you know, talking about your background as the executive editor at the Western Journal and a former U.S. Army special operator, which we appreciate your service.
Well, thank you. That's great. That saves me the time from having to brag on myself. So I appreciate that, Bill.
Well, that's when you get to come on here, see, I get to brag about you. So it's all good. Hey, let's talk before we get into your article that you wrote about regarding Facebook, the Western Conservative Conference. Update us on that.
Yeah, so we had this past weekend in Phoenix. We had gorgeous weather.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, unless you're here, you know, in July and August, you can pretty much count on pretty good weather in Phoenix.
Right.
There were, I didn't actually do a count, but I'm going to guess, eyeballing it, between 500 and 600.
Mm-hmm.
True blue American patriots gathered together. We had some great speakers. Wayne Allen Root was there. Herman Cain was there. Jeff DeWitt, who was the COO of Trump's campaign, and he's the treasurer of the state of Arizona now, was also there speaking, and Joseph Farah from WND, and all sorts of great speakers. It was a really great time. We kind of think of it as CPAC West. Yeah, it has that very much that kind of flavor to it, although probably more Hawaiian shirts. I think we have more Hawaiian shirts here.
Nothing wrong with that because CPAC, you know, February, it's a little on the cool side, so not many Hawaiian shirts, I see.
Exactly. Much more comfortable here, I think, than out in Virginia in February.
So what was the takeaway, would you say, after the weekend?
You know, it was a really energetic conference. It is when you live in out in the real world and, you know, consume media the way I do, the way I'm sure you do, Bill.
Right.
You know, even media that we don't necessarily agree with, or that's coming from a different perspective, a different slant, a different worldview, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
It is great to get together with 400, 500, 600 people who cheer when Donald Trump's name is spoken.
Mm-hmm.
And not that we agree with everything he does necessarily, or everything he says maybe, or how he says it. But in fact, this was of course right after he had signed the omnibus bill. So there was a lot of sort of grumbling about that, thinking, oh, that's his first big mistake, that kind of thing. But beyond all that, just people who support the president, and because he is the president, and they respect the office, in fact, even more than I think the previous office holder did, perhaps.
Right.
So it's just nice to get out of the mainstream media bubble and, you know, here's some real Americans talking about the things that really matter to them and how excited they are to see, Donald Trump making progress on some of those things. I'll tell you one statistic that came up that really, I think was really impactful. I'd heard it in various forms a couple of different places before, but, you know, when Trump took office, when he was campaigning, he said he was going to eliminate 2 regulations for every new regulation.
Exactly.
In place.
Right.
Well, Jeff DeWitt, speaking Saturday morning, said that the actual count is that for every regulation, every new regulation they've put in place, they've eliminated 22. regulations.
Yes. Right.
And so, I mean, you can imagine the cheers. That might have even gotten a standing ovation. I don't remember. But, you know, just to be surrounded with a bunch of people who are so excited about capitalism and small government, and it's just, it's hard to walk away from that kind of event without, you know, feeling like there's hope for this country, which if you just sit and listen to CNN all day, sometimes it's hard to remember that.
Well, you know, you have to detach yourself from reality to a degree when you hear the biased media that 90% of the reports are so anti-Trump. You know, I mean, you've got to really, in order to report 90%, 9 out of 10 times that you come on the air to talk negatively about somebody, I mean, that's contrived. You know, it's not only imbalanced, I mean, it's unfair, all those things, and it's wearing, and you think, well, what is wrong? You know, I mean, gosh, I'm making more money. I'm more excited about my future right now, and then I listen to CNN, I want to jump off the building. You know, so it's like, what the heck's going on here? So now you get around people that go, no, I'm seeing it the same way. Yeah, your paycheck's bigger. Yeah, right. You know, your relatives that were unemployed for 4 years under the previous administration,
right.
Now all of a sudden there's
right.
jobs available to them.
Right.
I think that's a good thing, right?
It is. It absolutely is a good thing. And I don't want to give the wrong impression. I mean, we have challenges, and we talk about those challenges.
Sure.
There's plenty of damage that's been done that needs to be undone. There's, basically a war against conservative publishers being waged online now by Facebook and Google and other Silicon Valley companies. And those topics came up, and we had good and serious and, I think, productive conversations. These are not people who just want to get in a room together and gripe and complain and look to somebody else to solve their problems. These are people, these are America.
Yes.
Are folks who, when they see a problem, they start thinking, well, what's the solution? What's
exactly.
my part in the solution?
Yeah, there's some depth to the argument, George. This is the frustrating thing that I have with progressives and liberals. The depth of their arguments is about the thickness of a bumper sticker. And it's frustrating for me because I sit there and say, look, you have a perspective. Let's do some homework. Let's get educated so you can articulate
right.
it and you can be part of the solution and not add to the problem. We're going to continue our conversation right now with George Upper. George, we got to go to a quick break. We'll be right back. We'll pick it up from there.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate tax. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. That's 800-915-9164.
This is an urgent health notice for all residents suffering from back, neck, knee, and wrist pain. You may qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you, but the deadline is fast approaching. Simply call the Health Alert Hotline now.
You heard right. You may qualify for a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace. These items may even be covered by Medicare or your private insurance. The Health Alert Hotline is your brace company. These specialized braces have been tested for pain relief. Call us toll-free right now to determine your eligibility and to learn how to use your private insurance or Medicare to minimize your out-of-pocket cost. Don't wait. If the deadline passes, you may lose your opportunity to get a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace at little or no cost to you.
800-301-1318. 800-301-1318. 800-301-1318. That's 800-301-1318.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
Are you retired or facing retirement and you're afraid your income is going to be less than you'd like? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and I want to show you a low-cost way to create your own business, working around your current schedule, creating extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.
You've reached Bill Martinez live.
Independent and fresh every day, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Welcome back. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. George Upper continues with us, the executive editor at the Western Journal. We were talking about the Western Conservative Conference. And, George, nothing like, getting people together of like mind to realize that, sometimes I feel like we're feeling different parts of the elephant and we're blindfolded. And the advantage of having people together like this is because they come from their various regions and saying, yeah, that's happening here too. And you get consensus and realize that, there is a war against conservative values. But, you consider the track record, the empirical evidence of conservatism. And, not since Ronald Reagan have we had, the kind of buzz that Donald Trump is doing. He certainly is not Ronald Reagan, but there are some things right. that remind you of him. And, as we were talking with another guest earlier, considering that we were so close to having a Hillary Clinton presidency, and what would have that brought us?
Right. Oh, that, absolutely right. I mean, there are a number of ways to look at Trump, right? And one of them is just that, compared to the alternative, I'll take 50 Donald Trumps, mm-hmm. With whatever issues he had 10 or 15 years ago that the media can't stop talking about, that are essentially largely irrelevant to mm-hmm. what he's doing today.
Right.
You mentioned Reagan, and you're right. Trump is no Reagan, but in some ways, and I want to be careful how I say this because I don't want your listeners picking up stones and circling me. But in some ways, I think Trump is actually more effective than Reagan, and he is not the ideologue that Reagan was. Reagan was definitely a far more superior. Or a far superior, I should say, conservative thinker.
Mm-hmm.
But Trump has done, being a great manager and a very experienced business person, is he surrounded himself with good people. And those good people for the most part, are very solid conservatives. Mm-hmm. So he's getting really good advice, and being the businessman that he is, he knows how to act on that advice and enact some of the things that, you know, we've been calling for a very long time. And his negotiation skills, you know, obviously every time we think he's made a misstep or a blunder, it seems to be to me that it turns out to be just another part of the process, the negotiation process. Mm-hmm. I think most conservatives kind of shook their heads a little bit when he started talking about tariffs and penalties on international trade. And yet we see even this week that, China, for instance, is turning and saying, well, we don't want a trade war either. Let's talk.
Let's come to the table. Let's talk about it.
Exactly.
Well, the same nervousness. Yeah, George, same nervousness, you know, hit the international community when they heard that Trump was going to go to the NATO partners and say, you know, you guys got to pay up. Oh, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. You know, President Obama didn't do that. And, no, we're going to do that. And he goes and he says, guys, we think you should honor your commitments. They go, well, nobody ever asked. You know,
right.
So just something that simple. And right. Here it is. And you get movement, you know, and, you know, the thing is, this is, you know, as been said, George, and you and I grew up with this, is that the difference between a conservative and a progressive is experience. And I'd say
right.
Experience connected to reality, because sometimes progressives get so ideologically fixed that, you know, even though all the evidence says you're going to run into a brick wall, you know, it's hell be damned, man. We're still going,
right,
you know,
right.
Because we're progressing.
It feels good to do this. It feels good.
You yeah.
Know, I think it was Dennis Prager who said that, you know, one of the significant differences between liberals and conservatives is that liberals do what feels good and mm-hmm. conservatives do what is good.
Yes.
And, you know, that's I certainly understand the desire to feel good.
Mm, yes.
I get it. We all get that.
Mm.
But the thinking or lack of thinking, I really should say, among many liberals, not all, of course, I don't want to overgeneralize too much, but among many liberals, look at what's happening in the country now. We've got a whole third of the country looking to high school students for leadership
yes.
on policy.
Pretty scary,
and,
isn't it?
And somebody, you know, that's clearly not something somebody woke up and said, hey, I've got a brilliant idea.
Mm.
Let's go talk to some 16-year-olds. They know what's going on in the world.
Right.
They're feeling their way through this issue. They're not thinking about it at all.
No. Well, you see, that's what's missing, and which I had suggested earlier, and that is that, you know, you have to be educated. I mean, these kids, we
right.
said early on that their hashtag was going to get hijacked, and sure enough, it has. They are spouting party lines that, you know, are antithetical to common sense. There's
right.
nothing that they're saying, or I should say very little that they're saying, that has any evidence that would have affected and changed things one iota to what happened on their campus. You know, this
That's
is about
absolutely right.
this is about school safety, and they're missing the point when they think it's about the NRA or Marco Rubio or Dana Lash or somebody, God forbid. I mean, come on,
right.
you know. But you know, they're following the party line, and then they have one of their spokespersons, Emma Gonzalez, who shows up in a military jacket wearing the flag of Cuba and talking
right.
about gun control here in the United States, and going with the flag of Cuba. really? Go ahead.
That tells you exactly where they're coming from. And they're not only do they not necessarily have good ideas, and I'll agree with you, there are probably a few nuggets in there, you know, mm-hmm. that we should consider. But, I mean, they're self-contradictory. They will within the same breath
mm-hmm.
say, the government has failed us, we need more government.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they literally say that in the same sentence.
Yeah.
This happened, you know, this tragedy happened because the FBI, you know, dropped the ball. We need to give the FBI more responsibility. That's their argument.
Yes, exactly.
That's not an argument. that's ludicrous. That,
yeah, they're, no, yeah, they're just not. They're not.
There isn't. I can't believe there's an adult in the room saying, you know, I just see the one guy in the back of the room, you know, putting his hands up. has anybody thought this through?
Yeah.
And the answer to that question is no. Nobody has thought this through.
Yes, yes. Even Spicoli. Spicoli would have an answer. Wait a minute. You know, you guys are messed up. I'm going to go order a pizza. And when you figure it out, I'll be back, you know. So, hey, why not?
You know, and that would make him the most productive person in that conversation because he got a pizza out of it.
And the thing is, unfortunately, is these kids are getting revved up for the sake of feeling good. And the other thing that comes into play, you know, relative to what Dennis had said, and Dennis is a dear friend of mine. We go back many years together. Is that what comes into play also with conservatism is we believe and understand deferred gratification. It's not that you want to do something and have something instantaneous. Progressives want it yesterday. You know, and that's the difference, because the thing is that conservatives will say, look, we're going to, you know, let's talk about enacting, but let's talk about the unintended consequences before they become, you know, the realization of our, you know, of our policies that we've instituted.
Absolutely right. One of my first bosses, I was young. I'd just gotten out of the Army, I think. And he said, I don't remember how the subject came up, but he said something along the lines of, you know, when you're, as you get older, you grow more conservative. You're born liberal, and you get more conservative as you grow older. And, you know, largely what he was talking about, and he was probably, you know, 29 or something at the time. He's talking about the same thing. You have to have experience. You have to have some worldview. You have to have some real life understanding about how the world works, and you have to have questioned some things, and you know, realize that not everything is as simple as it looks.
Exactly.
And because nothing is right. Mm-hmm. Nothing is ever as simple as it looks. But when you're 16.
It all seems that way, doesn't
it? It does. But because you haven't failed enough yet. And God help us, the current generation coming up, we haven't let them fail at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you're 16, it's all about pimples and puberty. That's enough to keep you busy, you know. George, I want to talk to you about Facebook and what they've done to their brand here. I was thinking that maybe with the conservative consortium that was held, that maybe there was conversation, we've been having it here on this show, that potentially there is an outlet for a distribution channel a la Facebook, but conservative style. What do you think?
I totally agree. In fact, I was on a panel discussion with James O'Keefe Aaron Klein from Breitbart and on that very topic.
I think it's on the horizon. It has to be because, you know, Facebook, for potentially what they could have done, they've really hurt themselves big time by compromising their brand, haven't they?
Completely agree. You know, the problem with the so-called new media that conservatives have embraced so much is that we're not actually the media. The media is the distribution channel, right?
Yes,
we're the messenger
exactly.
and the message.
Right.
But the media hates us. It's Google and Apple and Facebook and Twitter. They hate us.
Right.
And they control our distribution. That's the problem.
We got to leave it right there. George Upper on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, George. Appreciate it.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com.